The hearing that we're having today is obviously on rebuilding America's infrastructure. And I believe this is one of the most important topics before us as it relates to our economy. We live in an ever-increasing global economy where more than 95% of consumers live outside our borders. That means American workers and businesses need world-class infrastructure to reach customers, and we need to be competitive. Instead, the American Society of Civil Engineers gives the United States infrastructure a rating of C-. So we definitely need to improve that grade. Right now, the United States only invests 0.7% of our GDP in transportation infrastructure, other countries investing up to 8 times that amount. And the United States needs to make more investments if we are to remain competitive. In 2018, America shipped nearly $19 trillion worth of freight. That number is expected to top $25 trillion by 2030. In my home state of Washington, we moved over $443 billion worth of goods alone, and we see the cost of failing to rise every day in this investment by the amount of delays in our movement of product. The Washington State Department of Transportation estimated that if truck congestion increased by 20%, it would cost farmers, manufacturers, and businesses $14 billion in operating costs, resulting in thousands of job losses. So what we need to do today is start the conversation about how we're going to invest in America's infrastructure. To me, three things are very clear. One, Congress must provide funds to invest in mega projects that are important to our nation and to regional economies. For example, in my state, the I-5 bridge replacement between Vancouver and Portland, the West Seattle bridge repair, or the North Spokane corridor, which is a major transportation hub of moving product from Canada through the United States and on to other destinations. All three of these projects are significant regional projects that mean a lot to our nation's economy. Second, we've already seen that freight and infrastructure programs have helped our economy be more economically efficient, but more needs to be done. If we can ease the congestion on our roadways and at rail crossings and our ports, it only helps our economy grow. Now is the time to partner with local and regional people to solve these problems and get more out of America's competitiveness. With 95% of those customers living outside the United States, those products, whether they're from the South or from the Midwest or from the East Coast, need to get to their destinations. And third, I believe we need to do more on helping at-grade crossings, particularly because of rail congestion. If we're seeing an increase of rail traffic and exports out of the United States, it is clear that we are also seeing more congestion at our railroads, that is, at the railroad crossing. This is costing us safety and efficiency. We are releasing a report today, Railroad Crossing Congestion and Its Impacts to Safety and Efficiency, but we are showing that these delays are really causing concerns. The report shows, for example, in Davis, Oklahoma, a town of 2,800 people, it took police about 20 minutes to respond to a person threatening suicide, even though the person was less than 3 blocks away. In my hometown, Edmonds, Washington, a train blocked the only access on the waterfront for 3 hours. This required first responders to literally crawl through the rail cars to aid a pregnant woman who was due to give birth. I'm pretty sure the story that's told locally is that they actually transported her out on a stretcher through the rail cars to get her to the hospital. In Valley, Nebraska, on Christmas morning, firefighters were prevented from responding to a house fire for over an hour only because a train blocked access to the home. These at-grade crossing issues are real, and we need to make more significant investments to help alleviate this congestion. We also need to help the serious congestion at our ports with containers. There are currently 26 ships anchored and idle off the port of LA Long Beach because they are not able to get to port. When ships are unable to get to port, too often foreign-owned carriers offload goods at American ports and then load up empty containers to go back to Asia, leaving U.S. exports behind. A recent investigation found between July and December of 2020, carriers rejected at least $1.3 billion in U.S. agriculture exports. These are important issues to keeping our economy going. So I'm glad today we are going to hear from Deputy Secretary of Transportation in the Obama administration, John Pecari. He's got an extensive record on public and private activities related to infrastructure, and before joining the Obama administration was Secretary of Maryland Transportation. We also have three other individuals on the docket to hear from: Executive Director of the Atlanta Regional Commission, Mr. Douglas Hooker, who's going to be joining us remotely, and I'm going to let our colleague from Georgia give a longer introduction of him in a moment. And two other individuals, Toby Baker, the mayor of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and Mark McAndrews, also going to be remote from Pascagoula, but I'm going to let my colleague, Ranking Member Wicker, make those introductions at the appropriate time. So now I'd like to turn to, unless we've gotten another member, I'd like to turn to my colleague, Senator Wicker, for his opening statement.